Hello, friends and neighbors and brothers and sisters in Christ. We're glad to be with you today by way of this technology and study with you the Bible. We're going to be studying Luke 15. Luke 15, we have the parable of the prodigal son. And we want to look at this because it really is a benefit for us. It helps us to understand God's blessings and God's system. Now, there are actually three parables told in Luke 15. And they were told because somebody said something to Jesus. Here's what they said to him, and he responds by telling the three parables. Verse 1 of Luke 15, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Jesus was sitting with the publicans and sinners. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." They criticized Jesus because he was eating with the sinners. "And he spake this parable unto them, saying," now this parable explains why he's sitting there and eating with the publican and the sinners. He says, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." So the reason he's talking to the publicans and sinners is to bring them to repentance. And if that happens, there would be joy in heaven. But he tells a second parable. "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? Silver coins are valuable. Souls are valuable. A lost sheep is valuable. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Why are you eating with the publicans and sinners? Because I'm trying to save one. I'm searching for them. But then he tells a third parable. "A certain man had two sons." Now, we know how valuable a sheep is and a coin, a silver coin. But we do know how valuable our children are. And so the man had two sons, verse 12. "And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living." That's why he's a prodigal son. He's a wasteful son. He wasted it all. All of the wonderful things his father had given him, he wasted it on reckless living. "And we had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want." It's not working out too well for this son, is it? "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with husk that the swine or the pigs did eat. And no man gave unto him." No man gave unto him. He was broke, flat broke, and there was nobody there to help him. "And when he came to himself," what a key passage. When he came to himself, he finally got some sense into his head. He went to the school of hard knocks, and he began to learn an important lesson. He said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'm starving to death. But my father's servants have food. What will I do? I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father," notice the humility and notice the confession, "I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants." I don't deserve to be your son anymore. Just let me be like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when his father, when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." I'm not worthy. He had humbled himself. He's singing a different tune now. But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, the one that we've been saving, the one that we've been feeding to fatten up, and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Now that account goes on to talk about another son that he had, an elder son. He wasn't so happy that his brother came back. And so there are three parables here. We're not going to talk about that elder son right now. And so there was the lost sheep. It was found and there was rejoicing. There was the lost coin and it was found and there was rejoicing. There was the lost son who came home and there was rejoicing. They were lost. Now that's one of the terrible words in all of the world, is to be lost. When someone says he lost his son, that means that son died. When someone lost an arm or a leg in a war, that means they're not getting it back. Lost is a bad thing. We become lost when we sin. And 1 John 3 and 4 says, sin is a transgression of God's law. Sin is a missing the mark. We can miss it deliberately, like the son that left his father's house. He did that deliberately. He shouldn't have done that. Now the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar and the truth is not in us. We have all missed the mark. 1 John 5 and 19 says, the whole world has missed the mark. The whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, what happens when we sin? Well, in the parable, it was the young man who left the father. What happened? He left. There was a separation. The father didn't leave. The son left. He got caught up in sin. He left his father. And so when we sin, something bad happens. We separate ourselves from God. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and verse 2 says, the Lord's arm is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God, and your iniquities have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That's a terrible thing. We become separate from God, and God will not bless us. And so the young man left his father's house. And instead of enjoying a wonderful life, he hit rock bottom. He hit rock bottom. Now, beloved, when we sin, it's not, nothing good is going to happen. It's all going to be bad. And I want to refer you to the very first sin in the world. The sin of Adam and Eve. And when they sinned, bad things happened. Let me remind you that when they sinned, in Genesis 3, this is what God said. And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Things got rough. They got difficult when they sinned. The Bible says in Proverbs 13 and 15, the way of the transgressor is hard. The prodigal son chose to leave his father's house. And what happened? Did life get better? No, life got worse. The prodigal son's life got miserable. And it got miserable because that is the nature of sin. And you cannot change that. You cannot change that principle. The Bible says God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's something bad. And so the prodigal son left his father's house and he became miserable. That's what happens. That's what'll happen to you. That's what'll happen to me. We have all sinned. It didn't help us. Sin did not help us one bit. By the way, sin is expensive. He lost everything that he had in that faraway land. He lost it all. It was very expensive. You know, drunk drivers make everybody's car insurance expensive because we got to pay for their carelessness. Thieves steal from the store, and guess what? The store raises their prices so that we have to pay for the things the thief steals. And the more crime there is, the more expensive our lives become because they have to have more police and more jails, and that costs the taxpayers. And then ultimately, the greatest loss and expense there is because of sin is that they lose their soul. You can't lose anything more precious and more valuable than your soul. The parable of the prodigal son teaches us that when you leave the father's house, you're going down. You're going to rock bottom. And we know God's response. God responds to sin. Did you know that? In Genesis 6 and 7 and 8, God responded to sin during Noah's day. What did he do? He destroyed the world. In Genesis 19, there were cities called Sodom and Gomorrah that were in gross sin, immorality, wickedness. God responded by burning them up. In Exodus 5 through 14, Egypt was very mean and cruel and worldly and idolatrous. Guess what God did? He sent 10 plagues, which brought great destruction to Egypt. Leviticus 10, God destroyed two men because of their sin. Numbers 15, the Sabbath breaker was stoned because of his sin. In Joshua 3 and following, the city of Jericho was destroyed by God because they were sinning. Many other cases. God does not respond favorably to sin. Samaria, the capital city of Israel, destroyed. Why? Sin. Jerusalem, the capital city, the king's city of Judah, was destroyed by the Babylonians. Why? Sin. Idolatry. Nineveh was destroyed for the same reason. Edom and all the others. Sin is devastating. It's devastating to us eternally because we'll lose our soul. We will lose our soul. We need to repent. And that's what the prodigal son did. The prodigal son saw his condition. He came to himself and he had a change of heart. In repentance, you must change your heart. Beginning in verse number 17, the prodigal son said, he came to himself and said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me of one of thy hired servants. And that's what he did. He went home. He had a repentant heart. He had changed his attitude. And the Bible says that godly sorrow worketh repentance. It produces repentance. He was sorry for what he had done. And God receives a humble and contrite spirit. He will not reject that. And the young man had a very humble attitude. And God forgave him. He said, I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. I'm not worthy of it. You know, you and I, we're not worthy of the blood of Christ. The Bible says in Acts 17 and verse 10, after we've done all that is our duty to do, we must still say we're unprofitable servants. We're unprofitable. And that's what God wants us to have. He wants us to have a humble heart, a contrite heart. God loves and has affection for those kind of people. And that's why he came and he kissed his son. The far country is a place of losing and misery. Sin brings misery. It does. It's in our world today. But when the son returned with a different attitude, his father lovingly received him back. And he confessed to his father. You know, we've got to confess. He went to his father, and the son, verse 21, said unto his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Notice how he confessed his sin. It's very important that we confess our sins. The Bible says in James chapter 5, if we confess our faults, James chapter 5 verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He came and confessed to his father, I have sinned. Isn't that beautiful? That's what the Bible tells us to do. When we confess our sins, God will forgive us of our sins. That's what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation. He's the one that has made sacrifice for our sins. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. If we confess our sins, that is so important. The Father responds with generosity and with gifts and with favor. When that young man told his father that he had sinned and he was coming home, his father commanded the servants to bring a robe and put it on him, put a ring on his feet, and shoes on his feet, a ring on his hand, and bring that fatted calf and kill it. We're going to have a great celebration. Let us eat and let us be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. You know, the Father is very generous, and he responds. He responds to us when we sin. The Son is completely restored to his former place. He is not demoted. The Son wanted to demote himself. He wanted to come back and be a servant. He didn't feel worthy to be a son any longer. But the Father did not demote him. Now, that's our God, by the way. That's our God that we serve. When God forgives, it is complete. It is fully put away. And we are back in full fellowship with God. And that's God's plan. God has a plan. He knows we're going to sin. But he has a beautiful and wonderful plan to forgive us of our sins. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 12, this is what we read. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. God has a plan to forgive us of our sins. Part of that plan is baptism. Acts 22 and verse 16. Arise and be baptized and wash away our sins, calling on the name of the Lord. One of the most wonderful things that we can be is be washed from our sins. You know, we've committed to sin. Now, it's kind of like when we wash our clothes, there's dirt on our clothes. There's stains on our clothes. But when we put them in the washing machine, and when they come out, the stain is gone. Where did it go? Where did the stain go? Where did the dirt go? It's gone away. It's disappeared. It's not there any longer. You know, when we write something on a whiteboard, we write sin, we write lying, and we write cheating, and we write cussing. But God's forgiveness is like an eraser. It wipes it right off of that board. Where did it go? It went away. It's invisible now. Our lying, our cussing, our gossiping, our drinking, our fighting. He erases those charges. We are justified. We are treated, though we're guilty, we're treated like we're not guilty. Romans 5 and verse 1 says we're justified by faith. We stop sinning. Romans 6, verses 1 and 2. Shall we continue to sin? Shall we continue to bring spots and blemishes upon us? God forbid. No, faith obeys. Romans 8 and 1, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. Our sins are gone. The Bible says, or the Father said, My son was dead. He was lost. But he's not now. He has come home. He is alive. Sin separated him from his father. But through his obedience, he is now restored to his father. Let's remember some points about what we've studied. One of the things that we saw was it was real easy to leave the father's house. He just walked right out of there. And God let him have his way. His father let him have his way, let him walk right out. You know, if you want to leave the father and disobey him, you can. He's not going to stop you. You can leave. You can go. God will let you do that. You're a free moral agent. Let's learn that lesson. But us also learned the lesson that the prodigal son thought, there's a great life out there. I'm going to go enjoy this wonderful life. But I think he was surprised to find there wasn't a great life. It might have been fun for a little bit. But then what happened to the prodigal son? He hit rock bottom. He sold to the flesh, and of the flesh he reaped corruption. And so it wasn't so great out there. And when he had nothing, there was no backup plan. There was no help. No man came to help him. You know, when you follow the blind shall follow the blind, they'll wind up in the ditch. You're going to hit rock bottom. But what we also learn is the Father received him back completely, restored him, restored what he had lost. The Father is loving. He is merciful. He is forgiving. The Son humbled himself. And the father immediately forgave him. Immediately. What a beautiful, beautiful account. The prodigal son, what a wonderful lesson Jesus taught in teaching us how valuable our soul is. Thank you for tuning in, dear friends and loved ones. We hope you enjoyed your study. If you find yourself away from God, please come back. He has immediate help for you. Thank you.